Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be here with you on the second Sunday of Lent. And as I'm sure you've heard, leading up to this week, that this season of Lent is one in which Christians, across various traditions, choose something to symbolize their participation in and identification with the death of Jesus Christ, a time to deny ourselves and take up the cross of the one who took his cross up for us. For centuries, Lent was practiced only by churches with high liturgical traditions, such as the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Lutheran Church, and in about the past century, many evangelical and mainline churches have begun to rediscover Lent and its meaning, and to take up Lenten practices. So this has led to one of my favorite things, which is the proliferation of jokes on the internet about Lent. There are such treasures as your Facebook friends are praying for you to give up Facebook for Lent, or for Lent, I'm just giving up. All joking aside, this season is one for us as Christians to set aside something as we remember what Jesus set aside on our behalf. In the church, this Lenten season is one of self-denial and of abstaining from the things of this world. It's also not a celebration, a season of celebration or rejoicing, but rather a season of waiting and longing. Like the darkness of the Advent season before we celebrate the birth of Christ, Lent reminds us of the times that we feel when we feel distant from God. Much like the original audience of our Bible passage for today, our text today is Isaiah 55. It's a text that echoes this feeling of a people who are longing for God to come near again. Isaiah 55 is the last chapter in 2 Isaiah, which comprises chapters 40 through 55 of the book. This portion of Isaiah was written during the 6th century before Christ, when the Israelites had been taken captive by the Babylonians. During the exile in Babylon, the people of Israel were separated from many of the things they loved and held dear. They had been snatched out of their homeland, forced to reside in a place far from what they knew. Some of them had been separated from their families. Moreover, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had lost their place of worship. They were not able to worship God in the way they were accustomed to do so. Rather, they were exiles in a foreign land, and God seemed distant. For the Israelites, the Babylonian exile was a time of both physical deprivation and spiritual deprivation. Despite the dire situation of the Babylonian exile, Isaiah 55 is a message of hope. God has promised the Israelites that he will bring them out of exile. God is not only going to meet their needs, but rather exceed their needs. God will fulfill all of their longings, both spiritual and physical, satisfying them with rich food and the promise never to abandon them. The first promise that God makes in Isaiah 55 is the promise to feed the Israelites. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. We can assume that in this verse, God's promise of ample food and drink is not only metaphorical, but also literal. It would not be the first time that God has provided food from the Israelites, from Adam and Eve in the garden, to manna and quail in the desert during the Exodus, to Elijah being fed by ravens, it's a big difference there. God has met the needs of his people. Moreover, this image of God feeding the Israelites is not an isolated one. The image of God using rich food to feed his people is one seen throughout the book of Isaiah, perhaps most notably in Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25 talks about a feast that God is preparing for God's people on a mountain, saying this, On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich foods, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread up over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take from all of the earth, for the Lord has spoken. This promise in Isaiah 25 is quite similar to the one that we find in today's text, Isaiah 55. God will feed his people and they will live. Not only will the food be abundant, but it will be delicious. Another promise that God makes in Isaiah 55 is to make a covenant with his people, forgiving them for their evil ways and wrongdoing, and having mercy upon them. God reminds the Israelites that he is much greater than any of the troubles they may be facing in exile. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In saying this, God makes the point that God always accomplishes what he sets out to do. And in doing so, God will be glorified. The Israelites will reflect God's glory in this. Verse 5 says, "See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." Israel will be blessed, so much so that even the earth itself shall know it and reflect God's glory as well. Our text tells us, "The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Even plants that destroy or cause pain will be replaced with ones that are good. This is a reflection of God's promise. God's covenant is everlasting because of his love for his people, and God's covenant brings good things. Throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we can read that God fulfills these promises that he makes in Isaiah 55. The Israelites are set free from the Babylonian exile. They get to go home. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell us of this return to the promised land. With God's help, the Israelites are able to rebuild their temple. In this promise of a new covenant, God wants the Israelites to draw connections to the covenant God made with King David and to David's descendants. The covenant present in Isaiah 55 is not limited to the return to Israel and the rebuilding of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, although these events were part of and central to the covenant. Rather, God intends to remind the Israelites of his covenant with David, the covenant that the Messiah who would save the Israelites would come from David's line. Thus, God's promises in Isaiah 55 extend even to us. Here today, we have seen the ultimate fulfillment of this covenant, which is central to Isaiah 55. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was and is the Messiah, descended from David's line. And the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ bring us the hope of redemption. Just as the Israelites were able to return home from the Babylonian exile to worship God in their own land, we too have been reconciled to God. We are able to worship God. Jesus' atonement has covered us, and we are able to be in right relationship with one another and with him. As part of the church calendar, Lent provides an opportunity for us to connect with the suffering and death of Jesus. During Lent, we are called to abstain from the things of this world, Each of us chooses a Lenten practice. Some of us may have chosen to abstain from social media, such as Facebook or Instagram. Some of us may be abstaining from food items, such as chocolate or cheese. Some brave souls may have even given up coffee. Not me. And others of us may have taken something on, a spiritual discipline such as centering prayer or devotional readings. Regardless of what Lenten practice you may have chosen, we are all together in a season of abnegation. Through the practices that we choose, we are able to identify with our Savior in his self-denial and suffering. Additionally, Lent serves as a reminder of God's promises to provide for his people. As God provided for the Israelites during their 40 year out of Egypt and into the promised land, God provides for us during the 40 days of Lent. And our text today, Isaiah 55, reminded the Israelites of God's faithfulness during the Exodus. It is not only a spiritual provision, but a physical one, of manna, of quail, of water from a rock. Even in the barren desert, God's people survived because God was faithful to them. For the Israelite audience of Isaiah 55, being reminded of God's faithfulness in the wilderness would have fortified them as their exile in Babylon drew to a close. And it can also serve as a reminder to us that God cares not only for our spiritual needs, but also for our physical needs. When we yearn for the things that we have given up, whether it be social media connections, coffee, or chocolate, God gently reminds us that he has already given us everything we need. Our Lenten practices also remind us that there is still so much work to be done, both in ourselves and in the world. As people who have been reconciled to God, we as Christians are called to participate in doing this work. We live in a world that has been broken by sin, both personal and corporate. We see examples of this brokenness every day. A civil war tearing Syria apart and forcing thousands to flee the country. The people of Flint, Michigan, being forced to drink lead poison water that's delaying their children's development and destroying their bodies, all because of a few people's greed. Terrorists in Nigeria kidnapping girls out of school and holding them hostage for months. All of these are markers of a world that is not part of God's original intent. Isaiah 55 speaks to us in this day because it is God's promise that the brokenness we see is not all that there is or all that will ever be. Rather, we serve a God who has promised to make all things new. In John's revelation, Jesus, seated on the throne, says to John, "See, I am making all things new." Isaiah 55 is another representation of this promise. The call for everyone who thirsts to come to the waters is a call to the people of Flint, Michigan. The call to buy milk and wine without money is a call to those suffering from famine. The promise that cypress trees will grow where thorns used to be, that myrtles will replace briars, these are promises that the whole earth will be redeemed. The covenant that we have with God through Jesus is a covenant that ensures us that the world as we know it does not represent the end, but rather only the beginning. And Lent reminds us of God's faithfulness to us in this. But it also reminds us that our own faith requires action from us. We are called to join in on what God is doing to hold up our own end of the covenant. Just as the Israelites were called out of exile in Babylon to return to their homeland, we too will be called out of the season of Lent and drawn into the joy of Easter. And what is even greater is this, that the God who has called us to join him in his sufferings will redeem us and will redeem this whole earth. The old things shall pass away, and we shall be participants in the kingdom of God here on this earth as God sets all of creation to rights. As we journey through this Lenten season, may we remember the fulfillment of God's covenant with the Israelites in Isaiah 55, that of our faithful King, Jesus, who redeems us, restores us, and sets us free. And may we as well be reminded of our own role in the covenant, to be active participants in the coming kingdom of God.
And now let us stand and affirm what we believe.